Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a good day. We're definitely going to be moving a little faster because my time, I'm going to see if I can get, I'm going to get my message out in 12 minutes. My wife will have to time me today because we are definitely running, but I'm so grateful to be here. I would ask you right now, and before I start praying, we're going to meet me in the book of Acts chapter 4. We're going to be reading the first four verses, but let us pray. Let's give you time to get there. Acts chapter 4, which is the New Testament. And we'll see what God has to say. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for the gathering of the saints. We thank you, God, as the times are changing, God, we realize that you're coming back even sooner. The day is coming. Will your people be ready? Give us a word, God, that we'll be ready, God. It makes no sense to be in this building, in this room, and hear the word, but not accept the word. Guide us now, God, that when you see us, you'll hear and you'll say the words that we want to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That will be pleasing to you, and you will let us enter into our true rest, that we will be dancing with the angels. And then all we want to see will be you, Father. And we'll be able to sit, kneel before you, and praise you all the day long. Bless us now, God, with the word that will help us get closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My brothers and my sisters, as we're in Acts chapter 4, I'm reading the New King James Version, and it reads, Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains, and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they had taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men who came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and many as were in the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst of them, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day you judge for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved." If I had to put a title to our short time together, it's going to be, "Whose Side Are You On?" As the story told, we have two young boys over there, and I can imagine you guys have seen fights before. There's a story of this big fight. It was the biggest fight of the year. And it was funny because this one guy who wasn't in the fight went to go see the fight. Because you know you just want to see the fight. He went to go see the fight, and what happened was it was a little guy facing a big guy. And he just said, "This isn't a fair fight." So someone says, "Why don't you join the fight?" Because he was thinking it, but he forgot he was speaking it too. So the big guy decided, "Yeah, you join the fight too, so I'll fight both of you guys." And as he's gearing up to fight, because he's not afraid of anything, he's, "I'm going to fight too, then it's end of the year anyway." All of a sudden, he's ready to fight the big guy over here, but he's getting hit in the back of the head. And he turns around, and the little guy's hitting him. And he's like saying, "Why are you hitting me?" And the little guy says, "If you fight my brother, you fight me too." Sometimes when you're in a fight, you really don't know whose side everyone's on. Welcome to the book of Acts, where you'll see something that's amazing. That the people you least expect to act up, guess what they do? They act up. It is in Acts that you'll find the most amazing thing. Acts is the only book that bridges the gospel of Matthew, Luke, Matthew, and John to the rest of the Bible. It is the only book that kind of shows how Jesus spoke to the disciples, and then he left up. It is the only book, and it's written by Luke. And Luke wrote a position, he wrote more on miracles and stories than anybody else. Luke encompasses one third of the New Testament. Luke, who went with Paul, who was the other writer of the New Testament. So this is one of those books that you really kind of ask the question, whose side is everyone on? Let me just give you a little bit of history of what's going on right now. You're in chapter 4, but in chapter 2 and chapter 3, I don't know if you guys heard of Pentecost, that great day when all of a sudden you had the rumbling going on, and you all know about the tongues that came down, and you know about all of a sudden 120 people who were once scared were no longer scared, and they went out in the streets, and all of a sudden when they spoke like they were the United Nations. They spoke every language at the same time. No one was misunderstood, and they said, "What is this?" And it was Peter who spoke there the first time, and he says, "People of Jerusalem and Israel, let me tell you what's going on." And 3,000 people got saved. And then guess what happened? It's Peter who, in then Acts chapter 3, you meet Peter again, who sees a beggar on the street who's been crippled since birth. And this man, 40 years, he's been like this, and he's always been asking for something, always wanting money. And what's interesting about this beggar is that Peter looked at him, and Peter said, "I want to give you something. Silver and gold have I none, but Jesus Christ I give you." And Peter grabbed him, and he made the man get up. And guess what? When the man got up, he was able to walk. Now, as he's going into the temple, this is what you find. Everyone says again, "What is this?" And Peter speaks again, and he tells them, the man that was crucified wasn't just a man. He was God himself, and the power of God is now among us. And then we get to this point that same text, 2,000 more people get saved. But in this text, there are two types of people. 2,000 get saved, and you have three groups who get mad. You have the Sadducees. You have the temple priests and guards. All of a sudden, we run into something that everyone has run into before. You run into religion. You run into this thing that we don't do that in our church. We don't do that here. You got to do it our way. This is how we do it. We sit a certain way. We say amen a certain way. You got to do it this way. Have you've been, you know what that's like, amen? And you know what you realize? That's not God.
No.
It's not. But what you run into, and what you're running into this, is religion. But the question really is, will you still serve God when people come against you? That's what this text is about. Peter did something that no one wanted him to do, but he did it anyway. If they wanted to save someone, they'd rather save someone, but not a beggar. So, but then even better than that, Peter decided to tell the story of how he saved him, about a dead man who was a carpenter who wasn't an educated man. So this is a point for someone in this room. Now is the time to see who or what you really serve. At one time, it was fashionable to be a Christian. Now it's not. Now you're considered haters of people. Now you're considered, you can't walk around with a cross on in school. The school will tell you to put it away. Now is the time we'll finally see who's on the Lord's side. If there was a point, salvation is free, but there's a cost for living for God. The Bible says this: "Now as they spoke to the people, the chief priests, the temple guards, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they preached the resurrection, and they took hold of them." This word "now" means that something has changed, that at one time it was okay. Everyone was excited when Peter had healed the beggar outside, but when Peter came, brought the beggar in the church, all of a sudden we have a problem. It's this thing that, this "now" thing, that these people were offended, they were agitated, they were upset. What happens when the people who are supposed to be saved aren't? What happens when people who you least expected come to Christ? Do you get excited? No, everyone doesn't get excited. In the text, you're looking at people, of all the people in the world who should have been excited, it should have been the Sadducees. It should have been, but let me back up then. When Jesus was alive, the Pharisees got upset with Jesus. Now Jesus is dead. Jesus' word has gone to the church. Now the Sadducees are upset. The Pharisees for Jesus, the Sadducees for the church. So that must mean that everyone will never be happy for people who get saved. And that might lead to the story in Matthew 13 of the sower. That every time you sow seed and tell someone about Christ, someone will receive it, but someone will not. It's the story that some seed will fall on stony ground. Some will fall on thorny ground. Some of it will be eaten up. But then somebody may receive it. This text is almost true to the letter. Two things happen when you tell someone about Christ. Someone is happy, someone is not. The question today in this room, will you still talk about God even though people get mad at you? Whose side are you on? This is the day, and this might help you with this one. When your life seems like it's on trial, let Christ be your defense. The Bible says, and they came to the place the next day, the elders and scribes, Ananias and the high priest and everyone else, and they brought Peter and everyone else, and they asked one question. They said, by what power and by what name have you done this? By what power and by what name? 71 men and women, no, no, 71 men, the most elite men, the most educated men, the men who people, when they see them, they bow to them. Then they had one question on their mind. By what name did you do this? And this is what's interesting. Deuteronomy 13 gives them the right to do that. Deuteronomy 13 tells them to test the spirit. But there's one question I got to ask you. What happens when the judge is more evil than the person on trial? What happens when the people who are judging people are not just? You can tell this from the very beginning. They asked him a question. By what name have you done this? What is the this? The this is that a man one day was not walking then, but now he is. And this is what's funny about life. This question isn't just a question that's new. It's old, but it's a question that's for you too. Oh my goodness. I'm going to keep going. This is what's going on. Follow the yellow brick road with me. O.J. Simpson trial had a question that his trial case went like this. If the glove doesn't fit, you should do what?
Acquit.
If the glove fits, you should convict. Is there enough to convict you? This is what's going on. In Luke chapter 4, they accuse Peter and John of preaching the gospel. But guess what happened? In Acts chapter 4, they accuse Peter and John of something. But in Luke chapter 20, guess who they accused? They accused Jesus. It's the exact same thing. Have you ever heard of Groundhog's Day?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here. In Luke chapter 20, Jesus was accused of something. And guess what it was? Of talking about another gospel. Acts chapter 4, they're accusing John and Peter. But guess what else? Jesus performed miracles in the temple in Luke chapter 20. Acts chapter 4, guess what Peter and John did? Perform miracles. Acts chapter 20, the same group of people, Ananias and Sapphira, and all those people had Jesus in a room and convicted him. Those same people in Acts chapter 4 did the same thing. And can I tell you the truth? They're the same people today. Whenever you do something good for God, you will always find someone accusing you of something. The devil does not have to come on earth. He asks people to come at you and tell you that you're doing something wrong for God. You don't have to worry about it. If you are ever, and I know I got a witness, if you ever do something good for God and you think it's okay, you will always find someone out of the clear blue sky, give me an amen, who accuses you of something that you've never done. I looked at this text over and over and I could not understand it. How is it that these were men who were supposed to be scholars, but godly men, would accuse Peter and John of what? Being guilty of doing what they should be able to do. But the question still comes down, whose side are you on? It's almost like the illustration of blind men. Two men, a black man and a white man, kept on arguing. They both were saved, and they kept on saying the same thing. Jesus, God is black, said one. No, God is white, said the other. And they kept on going on about the color of God. One night, they both died. Same time, they both met in heaven. Guess what happened? They were both excited about one thing.
We will finally see God. Finally see God. And I'm so excited. And all of a sudden, there was thunder and lightning. And all of a sudden, as this cloud started moving, they knew it was Jesus. And they were looking at each other. We'll see, we'll see. And guess what? Guess what God started talking? God said, Buenos dias. They almost died again. Buenos dias. What do you mean? Can I tell you, they said, by whose power? Can I tell someone, God is colorless. God is just God. It is one thing that Peter and John came with one message. I come to talk about a Christ that can save anybody. I come to talk about a Christ that can heal. I could care less if he's black. I don't care if he's white. I don't care if he's Jewish. I just need to make sure he's God. He's got to be God. But guess what the question really was in the text? It was not a test of God. It was a test of men. Whenever people put pressure on you and try to accuse you of something, will you show the Christ in you or not?
Amen.
Whose side are you on? That's what's going on in the text. That's what's going on in your life. When people push you and try you, is there enough to convict you of being a Christian? I kept on looking at the text, and it's true. The stone is coming from Psalms 118:22 is what Peter was talking to me about. Whenever you're spirit led, you're Bible bound. What that means is this. Whenever God is in you and you're in a situation, you will always find a way to tie whatever you're doing to Scripture. You will always say, when someone accuses you and you're having a hard day, you'll say something like, the Lord is the light of my life, whom shall I fear? Or you'll say, what are you going to do? He that began a good work in me will complete it. Whenever you're tired, saying that he'll lift me up with wings of eagles, whenever your spirit led, your word bound, and that is what the text is showing. Peter, who was uneducated, was able to quote the Psalms. But better yet, when Peter was talking, Peter had one message to say. Everything I've done in the name of Christ. Now as I close, I have to ask you the question. Is everything you're doing for Christ? Some people say that I can't get enough Christ. Maybe because you're full of yourself. The question is, who's on the Lord's side? Moses dealt with it in the Old Testament. Jesus dealt with it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Acts, it's still going on. Now, the testament in this room. I have a question. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's willing to be accused and go through trials for God? That's what your life is about. Who's on the Lord's side? One day, Christ is going to be two things to everyone in this room. Today he can be your Savior, but tomorrow everyone, he'll be your judge. One day when he comes back, he will not want to be your Savior if you have not asked for him in your life. Today, he can be your Savior. Would you mind standing? When he comes back this next time, he's coming back to judge. He's the cornerstone, but he's also the capstone, which means that he is the complete ending of all things. Today is the day that we open up the church. That if you don't know the Lord, that today is a good day to know him. There's a story about a man called Chicken Man. He was a man who made a mistake. His biggest mistake was this. He had two kids and the house caught on fire. He ran out of the house and forgot the kids. And when he wanted to go in, he almost just froze and he just couldn't go in. And all he heard was his kids crying. Everyone said one thing, you're a chicken. And at that very moment, his mind clicked. And he started making and acting like a chicken because he was broken. One day someone told him that one day you're going to be with your kids and you'll be able to see them, but you have to find Christ. And that chicken man gave his life to Christ and became a real man. For everyone in this room, if you are not living for Christ, you are a chicken. Until you give your life to Christ, you are not living. We open up the doors of the church. I would say, who's on the Lord's side? If I dare you, if you want to come join me and pray for our country, pray for the world, pray for salvation. Pray for our nation. Pray for the next generation. But pray that God's will be done. We are servants of God. That's all we are. Whatever God's will is, it's His. There is no, we have no control over anything. If God says go, we what? God says sit, we what? If He says praise. So my question is, if you're on the Lord's side, I'll be like Moses. I dare you to join me on the platform and let's pray together then. Don't scare me now. I can't believe all of you guys are on the Lord's side. Are you two on the Lord's side? Well, can you come down? That's fine. You can come down. We just want to know who's on the Lord's side. We just want to hear everybody pray. Amen. Come on now, somebody. Ain't God good? We call him from the rafters to come down. Come on now. Somebody can praise the Lord on that one. Amen. Who's on the Lord's side? And I say this, everything that's happening in our world today is separating those who are not God's from those who are. It's a separation. If you can't see that, then you're not. You have to see that. That everything is happening to separate those who are God's. God is healer. He's a deliverer. He's savior. But He's also God.
Amen.
He's master. He's Lord. You want a healer, but God wants a servant. You want a God who you can control. No. God controls us.
Amen.
We are His tool, Ephesians would say. So that's what we pray for God's will to be done, not ours. That His glory shall be manifested on earth, not ours. We have the Savior, but God wants to be Lord. Even in that text, the only person Peter talked about was the Lord. And that's the only person you need to talk about. The issue of our world are the world, but you're not going to be in this world much longer. I don't think the news of this earth matters much in heaven. The angels don't really care if Dallas loses or wins. Sorry. Why are you going to break the Redskins? This woman is saved. I can tell she's saved. Somebody move Judas for me, please. Can I just say this? That I would go on this even further than that. Definitely not more time here. The crux of it really is, it is not your words but your deeds. When you're on trial with whoever and wherever, is in Christ. No one else. Say, Lord, use me. And guess what happened? When you open your mouth, God will speak through you. And God will get the glory. It matters not if it shames you or embarrasses you. But if in heaven they're smiling, saying there's one that belongs to you, Father, that's all that matters. Father, we pray for those who are yours, Father God. As Peter and John were on trial, they didn't back down. They didn't fear the cross. That we too shouldn't be proselytizing. We shouldn't hear people calling us out of our name, people saying they hate us, people saying that they don't like us, people saying they don't want to be around us. We cannot fear these people, God. We've got to somehow say, I am going to serve the Lord until the day I die. That I do not care how people feel. I'm going to tell them what you say, God. I'm going to stand on the word of God because you are the rock of ages. You are the God of all gods. There is none like you. You are the only thing and only person that you can talk about forever and never, ever run out of things to say. You are God alone. So, God, we give you glory today that we would prove ourselves worthy to be on your side, that your will be done, that your power, that's your mission, that's your desire. Everything is about you. You are the center of our lives. We mean nothing, but everything that we have is because of you. You are all that we need, so we give you this day. Father God, have your way in our lives. If we be honored that we would be tried and be asked the question, do we love you? Yes, we do. Will we serve you? Yes, we will. Will we be accused for you? Yes, we will. Will we stop? Never. And we are yours, and you are ours. That if this test is about us sticking with you, that's what we'll do. If that's what this is about, to say, will we stop serving you when people get mad at us? They get mad because we have a cross and we say amen. And we just, every time we find ourselves wanting to pray, we want to tell someone, I'm praying for you, I'm blessed you, and we're giving words, and they say, I don't like you talking like that. And all we can say is, you may not like it, but God commands me to say it. Because I am a child of God.
Amen.
And only a child of light can speak light.
Hallelujah.
I cannot speak doubt. I cannot speak fear. I can only speak hope because that is all that's in me. I belong to him and he belongs to me. And Christ never was negative. His spirit is peace. So bless us now with that, your spirit, Father. As Peter and John had to deal with men who thought they were better than them, but unfortunately they couldn't make miracles happen. We seek this God that can make miracles happen today in our lives and in the lives of our families. But better than that, that you'll use us, that we'll be walking, talking testimonies, that everything that you desire, God, will be done through us, that as long as you get the glory, that I must decrease, but God, I pray that you increase, that on that day of coming, that great day of coming, when the cloud flaps open, that you'll see people who resemble your son Jesus, and you'll call them up. Because that is the only way we can be called, is that we look like Christ. We cannot look like the world. So bless us now, Father. Keep us now. That your will be done. We're on your side, Father. For this is our prayer. The only prayer that a servant can give. That my master be glorified. That my master be magnified. And that master is you, Jesus. You are the master of our lives. You are the keeper of our souls. Bless us now. Bless our children and our children's children. That they will find a way to find you. And you'll stay with them. That pain and sickness may come, but we believe that there's always a better day. And that day is always beginning and ending in Christ. Glory and majesty are yours. We surrender it all to you. We are the first on the altar. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.